hearing God when He speaks. Hearing God when He speaks. Now, in the journey of serving the Lord, our personal life holds significant importance in relation to our ministry. Whether you are standing here or whether you are there, it holds significant significant importance in relations to our ministry. Who we are in terms of character and habits and conduct plays a crucial role in how we are being used by God. All right? Who we are in habit and in conduct plays a crucial role in how God uses us, how we are being used by God. It goes beyond just having a spiritual experience within the church. When we sing, "Speak to us, Holy Spirit," and we get goosebumps while we sing and we lift up our hands, it goes beyond the walls of this building. Are you with me? It involves the shaping of our nature and the development of our character and of our habits. Are you with me? And God is in the process of creating a new character within us. He is in the process of giving us the character of Christ. But one of the ways we get to understand the character of Christ is to know how to listen to God when He speaks. Because Christ did that very well. And there are various characteristics where we have where we need to undergo spiritual exercise before the Lord, allowing the formation of new Christ-like habits. And these aspects primarily pertain to our outward selves, as it is in this realm that we are transformed, becoming suitable for the Master's service. In other words, how we behave, how we act, how we talk, how we carry ourselves in a world out there that does not know Christ and His salvation. So the first two characteristics of the missional person we are talking about is twofold. Number one is listening. So that means listening to God. And then next week we'll tackle listening to others. And so this week, so once we get the listening to God right, the listening to others would fall in line. Are you with me? And so today we will talk about listening to God. So if you have your Bibles here, please open, click, swipe. Those that come with the paper Bibles, Brian, you can't click and swipe there. You have to open and turn your pages. The rest of you who's digital, like the rest of us, you can click and swipe to Luke chapter 8. We are going to read verse 4 to 8, and then the latter part we will read from verse 11, I think. Let's read together. It's also on the back of the screen here. So in the first part, Jesus tells the parable. In the latter, He explains the parable. So I'll read the explanation of the parable later. Let's read. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, that means the footpath, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop hundredfold. And when He had said these things, He cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." May the Lord bless His word and write it on the tables of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus spoke according to the agricultural customs of His day. He spoke a language in which the people could understand and relate to, hence why He used this illustration and this parable. Now, in those days, the seed was scattered first, and then it was plowed into the ground. I think in these days I've seen some farmers would open the ground first and then scatter the seeds and then come again and close the ground. But they did the opposite. Now, for the most part, you didn't know the quality of the precise piece of ground until after you started sowing. In other words, you'll only know the quality of your ground when the harvest comes. No matter what you have sowed, You only know that. Now, in this parable, the seed fell on four different types of soil. The problem of a potential misharvest was never because of the seed, but it was because of the soil. Where it fell, what soil it lands out on. Now, there's four places that Jesus mentions where the seed fell when it was sowed. Number one, it was by the wayside, on the footpath, that's what they call it. Number two, it was on the rocks. Number three, it was amongst the thorns. And finally, it was on good ground. So it was on the footpath, it was on the stony ground, it was on the thorny ground, and it was on good soil. So these are four places where when the seed are being sowed, it can fall on. Now, the wayside was the path where people walked and nothing could grow because it was too hard. Nothing could grow on that. The rocks was where the soil was thin. Laying upon a stony shelf, on this ground, the seed sprang up quickly because of the warmth of the soil. But the seed was unable to take root because of its rocky shelf that it was on. All right? So the seed was unable to take root on that. And then among the thorns was another place. It was described as a soil that was fertile. And perhaps too fertile because the thorns grew there as well as the grain. It grew together with the seed. And the thorns would end up choking the good grain, and the grain would not yield a productive crop harvest when it comes back. And then he says, talks about the good ground. He describes the soil that was both fertile and weed-free. A good productive crop grew in the good ground. The crop may be a hundredfold increase to what was sown. So these are the four kinds of soils that seed are sown into. And so now he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now this was not a call for all to listen. Rather, it was a call for those who are spiritually sensitive to take special note. In other words, if you sit here and you say that you are a person of the Spirit, not the devil's spirit, the Spirit of Christ walks in you and you walk in the Spirit of Christ, then Christ is saying to you this morning, you that have ears of the Spirit to hear, you better sit up and listen to what God is about to say to you this morning. Are you with me? Now we come to the part where Jesus explains the parable, and that's where I want to labor on this morning. Put on the from verse 11, I think it's the next slide. Thank you so much. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. It's not money. It's the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of the temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. May God bless his word again and write it on the tables of our heart. Now, the idea that the seed is the word of God is repeated quite a lot in the Bible. Paul used it, the idea, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. And Peter wrote that we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides in us forever. And so we see a lot of illustrations of, especially in the New Testament, of the word of God, which is likened to a seed. And now let me explain to you why Jesus likened the word of God to a seed And then we'll go into the rest of this passage and expound on that. Now, Jesus likened the word of God to a seed, both spoken and written word, to be like a seed, because he understood that a seed has enormous power in itself for the generation of life and usefulness if it's planted in the right conditions. Let me say this again. Jesus understood that the word of God was a seed, and it has enormous power to bring forth an enormous harvest when it is planted in the right conditions. Amen. Not in the wrong conditions. So Jesus understood the concept of the seed being the word of God, the power in the word of God. Jesus understood that. And so we go, and we're going to look at the different types of soil again and see how it impacts us in the application we feel we need to draw out of that. Now, the wayside soil then represented those who never heard the word of God with any understanding. The word of God must be understood before it can fully bear fruit. If the word of God is not understood, then there's no harvest out of the word of God. Hence why maybe that's why maybe in the life of the Christian we feel like the word of God has no power, and people have to do funny things to draw God's attention, because we do not understand the word of God the way God intends us to understand his word. Sometimes we put our own thoughts and ideas into the word of God, and then can imagine God says, but that's never what I said. Where do you get this thing from? Now you are angry at me because it didn't work out, but it's your own fault. And we are blaming God for that. And so the word of God must be understood so that it can bear fruit. Now, one of Satan's chief works is to keep men in darkness regarding the understanding of the gospel and the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God." And so even in church, Satan can blind the mind of the believer so that we don't understand the gospel. He uses our laziness sometimes, because we are too lazy to study the Bible and we don't understand what God is saying through his word. We follow all these fake prophets and all these fake things, and we say, God has spoken to me through these people, but there's no foundation in what he has spoken through. So it's impossible for God to speak and contradict his word. And so we need to understand his word. And when we understand his word, we will not go astray. No matter what, whoever is preaching, we will always take it back to the word. This tells us that Satan is at work during the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Satan seems to believe in the power of God's word more than many Christians do. He knows that when it is taught or preached, he needs to be busy working against the word of God. Then he comes, the devil. He is punctual in his work. He never misses an opportunity in his work. He knows at just the right time to come during preaching. He knows how to bring distraction of some kind at the right moment. Or actually the wrong moment. To come and have people not understand the word of God. Sometimes the preacher himself provides opportunities for distraction. Sometimes accidentally a word or a story in the sermon triggers a distracting association, and people miss what the preacher is saying. Sometimes the mind fills with yesterday's problems and today's problems and tomorrow's problems. And so we lose our train of thought when we are following and listening to the preached word of God. Sometimes a child comes and runs past, or a clever remark from the congregation does the job to subtract from what God is trying to say. Now, I am not saying Don't say or praise God or shout if you are being touched by the word of God. I'm not saying that. But before you shout, I want you to consider, who is your shouting bringing glory to? Will it draw attention to yourself, or will it point people to Jesus? Once it points people to Jesus, you can shout as much as you want. But if it draws attention to you, we'll have a problem. Sometimes he even makes the believer in church fall asleep right under the preached word. So to make sure you have a missed harvest on the seed of the word, the power of the word that was being sowed into your life, and you can, and he will even give you, you remember, he's even smart, he will even tell you, blame the preacher, because he's a boring speaker. He doesn't excite you. Blame the preacher. Whether the preacher is a charismatic person, or whether the preacher preaches like this, it remains the word of God. It still remains God speaking. And so when God speaks, we need to learn to listen. We open our ears. Jesus said that the devil actually comes in and he takes the word. He takes it. He doesn't only try to do it. He takes it. In this regard, he has power to take the word. He sees, he comes, and he conquers. If it were not for the opposing work of the Holy Spirit working in, I'm talking about a corporate anointing working while we are preaching, while we are ministering, then surely that's why nothing happens sometimes, because God's Spirit is moving amongst his people. And God's people are in the spirit. And so he doesn't have authority or jurisdiction to come and steal from the word of God. And so he takes the word because he knows he has more faith in the word than the believer. Because if the believer was really had faith in the word, the believer wouldn't take a chance to sleep while God is speaking. The believer wouldn't take a chance to allow himself or herself to be distracted while God is speaking, because they have faith in the harvest of the word of God. He takes the word. He takes it away from us. He works hard to keep salvation and spiritual strength from those who might otherwise hear to good effect. Satan's strategy, though, gives us wisdom. And I'll tell you why, if we will receive it. That if a heart does stay, because Satan knows the power of God's word. And so if your heart and mind stays in contact with the word of God, there is a good chance that you will be repenting from what you are doing. It will come. Repentance will come. Faith will come. All these things will come forth. Because if Satan is fighting us so hard to hear the word, then that means we need to fight harder. But I thank God we don't have to fight in our own strength. For his word says, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. For we are people of the spirit. For we are in the spirit. For we are called by the spirit. And so when we walk in the spirit, the devil has no jurisdiction. He knows about us, but he cannot touch us. He sees us, but he cannot touch us, because we walk in victory. Sorry, in the spirit of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's go on. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Thank you. You can put it down. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now, as seed falling on the thin soil on top of the rocky places quickly springs up and then quickly withers and dies, so some respond to the word with immediate enthusiasm and then it withers away. They had good seed. They had a warm environment. The circumstances were perfect for the seed to bring forth a harvest. But they failed because the seed lacked moisture, and therefore they had no root to endure times of temptation. But I thank God that Isaiah 59 verse 19 says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against them. And so falling into temptation because of the seed is not an excuse for us to say, well, I fell into temptation. But God gives an exit with every temptation that comes our way. He gives us the strength to overcome temptation. For he does say that when I am weak, I am strong in the Lord. His power is made perfect in my weakness. So God has given us everything through the person of Jesus Christ so that we don't live a life of failure, but a life of victory through his word, through his spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Represents the fertile ground. It grew, but the cares and the riches of the world grows, and the pleasures of life grows with it and chokes it. Have you ever seen, perhaps in your own life, the older you become, the more you seem to worry about the things that you didn't used to worry about in the first place? And yet, you know Christ now better. You know Christ now more through his word. You are even baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God. But this worrying never seems to let you go. The challenge is that our worries grows with us because we have never learned to apply the Word of God in our circumstances. The worries grows with us because we have never learned to apply the Word of God in our circumstances. In other words, we are Christians here, but the way we do business is different. We are Christians in church, but I go home and I abuse and beat my wife. We are Christians in church, but when I step out of here, we leave the Christianity here and we walk in the flesh. And so we've never learned to apply the Word of God into our lives. Another example I can give you is the Bible says, cast your burdens unto the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalms 55 verse 22. Now, the problem is not the casting the burdens unto Jesus. That's the easy part. The problem is keeping the burdens with him. And that is where the lack of applying the word comes in our daily lives. That's just one example I'm giving us. The worries of this world choke the harvest out as it grows with the word in our life. And so we fail to see the power of God's written word in our lives because we allowed the worries to worry us. But the Bible says, do not let anything worry you. In fact, give it to the Lord and pray to the Lord for that so that he can deal with it. Then we go on, talks about the one that fell on the good ground. Are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Family, walking with Jesus is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You will run with your whole life. It requires a lot of patience to allow God to discipline you so that we can be useful in his hands. I refuse to be a church where the usefulness of the members of the church is only within the confines of these four walls. God didn't call us to be useful here. He called us to be useful there. And we need to do what we need to do, be equipped, put ourselves down, lay ourselves at the Lord's feet so that wherever we go, we can be useful in the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They keep the word, thus they bear fruit, fulfilling the purpose of the seed. But keep in mind, sometimes it takes years to become good ground. Because soil has to be worked now in order to have more come out than what you have put in it. The soil represents those who receive the word, and it brought forth fruit in their soil in a generous portion. Now, it is wrong to receive this parable as if I'm saying, that's just the kind of soil you are or I am. I'm not here to dictate or to say we are. Instead, this parable is a challenge for every listener, with God's help, to cultivate the soil of their heart so that the good word of God has the best effect in your life. Let me explain this better. We benefit from seeing bits of ourselves in all four soils. Like the wayside, sometimes we allow the word no room at all in our lives because it's just too difficult to change. So we say, no, this word is not for me. I'm not going to change. Like the stony places, we sometimes have flashes of enthusiasm in receiving the word but quickly burn out. Understand, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We change things in our life gradually so that we can become more holy, become more like Christ. And that means sometimes working for years on certain areas of our lives. For some people it happens like this. For other people it takes years. Like the stony places, we sometimes have flashes of enthusiasm. I've said that. Like the soil amongst the thorns, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches are constantly threatening to choke out God's word and our fruitfulness. Exactly. It grows with it. But like the good ground, the word bears fruit. I want to tell you what Spurgeon says about all this. Spurgeon is a preacher that lived long ago that did phenomenal expositions. He says, we notice that the difference in each category was with the soil itself. The sower cast the same seed. You could not blame the differences in results on the sower or on the seed, but only on the soil. Oh, my dear hearers, you undergo a test today. Peradventure, you will be judging the preacher, but a greater than the preacher will be judging you, for the word itself shall judge you. Another guy called Franz said the following. The parable was also an encouragement to the disciples. Even though it might seem that few respond, God is in control and the harvest will certainly come. This was especially meaningful in light of the rising opposition to Jesus. Not all will respond, but there will be some who do, and the harvest will be rich. What I want to say is, when you preach, do not be discouraged because someone is telling, go away with your gospel here. For Jeremiah says, where Jeremiah tells Jeremiah to ask the nation, he says, is my word not like a fire that breaks every rock and changes things? So God's word has power. Don't stop preaching, even if people hate you for it. Don't stop being used in the hand of God, even if it's not popular at times. Don't stop it, because God's word has the power. God will bring forth the harvest. God will water. God's Holy Spirit would work behind the scenes. All we have to do is be obedient to the work of the Lord. I want to conclude. The parable compels us then to ask, what kind of soil am I? How can I prepare my heart and mind to be the right kind of soil? How do I prepare these? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to give to the Lord in order to be the right kind of soil? I want to conclude with these verses from chapter 16 to 21. This is Jesus continuing to talk right after this parable. He says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed instead. So he says, the usefulness of the lamp. You don't light it and you put it under the bed. Same as with the word. You see how he brings the word in this. You don't hear the word and put it in your pocket and said, yeah, it was a good word, and that's where it stays. So they put it on a stand so that those who come in and see the light, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. This is now the word. Now, verse 19, he says, now Jesus' mother, something interesting happens here. And brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Then someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. Jesus replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. He didn't say, those, my mother and my biological family, they are not my family. Jesus was using the illustration saying, those that put God's word in practice are my family. So we can fool ourselves for as long as we want. But you heard it from Jesus himself. If we put his word into practice, we are his mother, we are his brother, we are his family. Won't you stand with me and let's pray together. Let's raise our hands to heaven.
Rebaka soto boroboko shitayanda barabaka sikayende berebeke sitaya. Rebaka soto boroboko shitayanda barabaka sete. Rebeke sondo boroboko shitayanda barabaka sitaya. Father, we thank you for your word. Rabaka sitaya. For your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Rabaka sitayanda barabaka sete. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful. Rebaka sotoboro, that your word has the ability to bring forth a harvest when it is planted in good soil. Rabaka shitaya na barabaka shete. Rebaka sotoboro boko shitaya. Father, we never want to see a missed harvest of your word in our life. Rabaka shitaya. And so, Lord, we repent of falling asleep under your word. We repent, Lord, of not taking your word seriously. We repent, Lord, of bringing things or allowing things to distract us when you are speaking to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that your word, which is powerful, will bring forth a hundredfold harvest always in our lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit would always remind us of your word, of the power of your word, so we may never get too used to your word, but we will always know that when you speak through your word, we as your people would listen, Lord. Father, we come against every plan of the devil that is trying to steal your word from your people. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We will be a people of your word in the name of Jesus. We will be a people that hold on to your word. We will be a people that understands and got the revelation of the power that's in your word. And we will be a people of good soil that brings forth a harvest a hundredfold because of your word in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would come, Lord, and give us the strength to lay down in our lives whatever we need to lay down to help us become the good soil so that your word can sprout, become a harvest in our soil in the name of Jesus. Rebaka sitayanda barabaka sete. Rebaka soto boroboko sitayanda barabaka sitaya. Rebaka sitaya. Come on, speak in tongues. Speak with the Lord. Speak with the Lord. Speak with the Lord. Rebaka soto boroboko sitaya. Rebaka sikayanda barabaka sete. Father, this is your word. Rebaka sikayanda baraba. We never want to miss what your word says in us, what your word is giving us, Lord. May we grasp, may we have a harvest. May whatever your word has planned for us, may it come into fulfillment, because your people are good ground now. In Jesus' name, Rabaka Sitaya, Rebeke Sitaya, Robo Sitaya. hearers of your word. We want to be doers, Lord. No matter how difficult it is, we desire to be doers of your word.